Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 728. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is sitting below the table here with the soundboard on it. So at any point in time, he could just jump up and start to fuck with it. But we're a couple hours away from when I generally clean out his litter box. So I'm hoping, he doesn't do that. When I get near the end, he might. Now, I did just get caffeinated beforehand, so I'm a little jacked up. And I realized I made some mistakes tonight, as I did work today. So I had to, that's why I got had to get like jacked, like straight up jacked before doing this. But which is pretty much the story now. This is summertime. This is when my job gets busy. Anyway, what I was looking... And now I had a plan. I've talked about this, I guess, for quite a while now that I had seen and that Mr. Bruce Campbell, that, of course, you know, a few months back now, I got a bust of Ash from the Evil Dead, of course, played by one Mr. Bruce Campbell, the legend. And I've been reading his book. I've been talking about that a lot lately. His first book, If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. Believes the title on that one. He's written several books. I got to say, I'm a little over halfway through. Love the book so far. I do need to, since I'm getting close to, like, wrapping it up pretty much, I need to buy his sequel to that, actually. Anyway, that one's called Hail to the Chin, I think. Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. Something to that effect. Off the top of my dome, I think it's something close to that. Now, where I fucked up is I did see, and I talked about months ago, that he was doing showings of his movie, Ernie and Emma, his new movie. He was doing a tour of it, and then, of course, he got his cancer diagnosis. He put all of his touring and appearances on hold, and he just announced, I don't know, what, a month or 2 months ago? I forgot when it was. He announced, it was a while ago, that he was back on. He was touring with the movie, doing live Q&A. And I fucked up. I thought I didn't see an option to buy the tickets on the Alamo Drafthouse website. And on their website, you can't select out past just the website for, like, the St. Louis Alamo Drafthouse. I was unable to see a schedule of events out past 3 months. And, you know, 3 months before the Halloween show, which he's going to be in St. Louis for, showing Ernie and Emma. 3 months, of course, that is on Halloween. Anyway, it's 3 months would be, right now, August. 3 months. So I was like, well, it'll show up on August. And then come to find out today that I guess you could have already bought. I should have just called them. I should have called them to figure out that as soon as I found out the deals, because, like, you know, initially I thought, I was like, ooh, that would be cool to see. But the more, you know, after getting the bust and everything, reading his books, I'm like, I gotta fucking see this shit. Getting more and more pumped about it. And then, like, God damn it. Anyway, they're all sold out of tickets for the St. Louis showing. There is only one showing left of the tour of cities that he's doing. And it's Littleton, the only one spot left that has tickets left for sale. And it's in Littleton, Colorado on November 14th. As of recording this episode, I mean, by the end of the day, I mean, it could be all sold out. Honestly, I don't know when they actually put the shit up for sale. It's Bruce Campbell. You know, it's not like there's a lot of seats I know there's two shows, at least in the Littleton one. I would imagine all the locations probably had two showings. It's probably what he was doing. Anyway, I am seriously considering. I have looked up tickets for a flight. Littleton, the nearest airport is Denver. November, it's November 14th. That could be sketchy as far as weather. I mean, there could be a lot of snow, which could interrupt flights, you know, and any kind of other transportation. I might have to dress extremely warmly. I mean, I'll probably have to dress pretty warm. But I thought about, I've been looking into going to the Littleton one after, because like I'm just like so heartbroken when I talk to the old the roommate Tony. She her son Marcellus, of course, is he's into Bruce Campbell, and when I told him about it, like he thought it was the coolest thing that he was going to be in for Halloween, and I was like, oh shit, you know, I wanted to make that happen. I realized I could have gotten tickets already, I would have bought it, damn it, and I would have bought a few, but I fucked up. Now I'm like, oh. Anyway, I was talking to Tony about it. She looked it up and was like, that it was already sold out in St. Louis. Like, god damn it. I was so heartbroken after that. And I was like, god damn it. So I kept searching their website, and they're like, there are showings left in Littleton, Colorado. It is very tempting. Like, I guess I could afford to do it. It might just be a solo adventure. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get anybody else to go and fly to Denver for a day with me just to go meet Bruce Campbell. But, I mean, I don't know how many more chances I'm going to get to meet the Chin in person. I might have to do this, and hell, it'd make for a great story. I would have to like record this in advance. I would think if I do it, I would have to take vacation. Probably I would take vacation Friday and that following Monday off of work, simply because there is a possibility. I would definitely take Monday off because I don't think I would be able to get a flight late enough on the way back to be able to make it to the airport in time to fly back. So I'm thinking I would have to fly back on Sunday. So that would kind of suck. Then it's like, do I get a hotel room? Because I want to do it for cheap as possible. I don't want to spend a whole lot. It looks like round trip flights are going to cost me around $200-ish. The tickets for the show with tax is like $17. Like, that's not a problem. But the round trip flight, that's the most expensive part. Thankfully, I looked at where the Alamo Draft House is in Littleton. And it's about, I don't even know if it's quite a mile away from there's a train station, like probably not even a mile from the theater that can go straight to the Denver airport. Well, I don't know, straight to, but it goes, there's a train I can take from Denver airport to pretty much the theater. And that's only a $14 ride. I would imagine that's just one way, but a taxi is going to cost me somewhere around the vicinity of $75 to like $80 one way. Renting a car, that's going to be way more expensive. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going on any other vacation this year. Do kind of need a little bit of break. I don't really have anything other than going to see Marc Maron in September. I've got nothing. Oh, I got nothing else going. I would love to have like a, I don't know that I really want to go do this. I've gone to foreign countries by myself, but I mean, there is the fact that I don't even think I'll probably, just looking, it's a live Q&A. I don't know that I'll be able to actually meet the man, but just to be there in person, and I mean, I could ask him a question. I could ask him questions, but it's kind of a group thing. There's not a lot of seats in the theater. So I don't know if he does meet with anybody afterwards. There's nothing about in the tickets as far as... let me pull up the info about as long as the weather part would be a problem for the fact that it would just be if the flights might get canceled or delayed, that could be an issue, if I take off work the Monday and after and the Friday before, it's on the Saturday. I would fly out Saturday morning, but then again, that's let's see. Here we go. I got the live Q&A only at Alamo Drafthouse here. Let's see what it has to say. Is this worth the adventure? I mean, it's fucking Bruce Campbell. Let's see here. See Bruce live as he brings his heartfelt new road trip comedy to Alamo Drafthouse theaters across the country. Bruce Campbell has spent decades battling deadites, telling stories, and being groovy. Now he's hitting the road with something a little different. Written, directed, produced by, and starring Campbell, Ernie and Emma is a poignant road trip comedy about grief, love, and finding your footing after loss. It follows widowed pear salesman, that's a job, Ernie Tyler, as he sets out across Oregon to fulfill his late wife Emma's very specific wishes for her ashes. What begins as one final errand becomes a series of unexpected detours, strange encounters, and quiet moments of reflection. It's funny, heartfelt, and unmistakably Bruce. To celebrate the film, Bruce is bringing Ernie and Emma to 18 Alamo Drafthouse locations for special one-night-only screenings, followed by a live Q&A. We've seen Bruce Campbell quip one-liners and chainsaw the undead. Now you can see him do what he does just as well, tell stories. After the screening, stick around for a live conversation with the man himself. So I'd imagine, I mean, it doesn't sound like you get to like personally meet him. Following each one-night only live Q&A event, Ernie and Emma will continue with a one-week engagement at the... that's giving you another chance to catch the film if you can't make the opening night. So I could still go see it at the St. Louis. Just won't be able to see it with Mr. Bruce Campbell. Say Bruce Campbell doesn't hit the road with a new movie every day. Join us for an evening of stories, laughs, and conversation with one of cinema's greatest great raconteurs. So I imagine he's not meeting with everybody, but just, to be in the room and be that close to the man. There is something magical about that. It's so poetic that this movie is about death. His wife dies, and of course he's going on a road trip with her ashes. And, this might be his final movie. As, he's battling cancer. And, hopefully he can, stick around a while longer. I would love to have meet him at an event where I could, actually converse with him a little bit, one-on-one and maybe get a picture. But I'm not a big picture guy. I don't really care to have pictures of myself. Come here, Fox. Man, you got a while, sir. You got a while, man. It's fun fact, he was just rubbing up against Bruce Campbell earlier when I came home. Not immediately when I came in the door, of course, I was, I was petting on him, giving him some loving. And so he was rubbing up against me, and then he jumped up on the counter, and then he started rubbing up on Bruce's face. I mean, that's almost like a fucking sign that I gotta... I might have to do this adventure. This is a... Fuck. Ugh. I might end up buying these tickets before I end up finishing this podcast. I'm going to have to pause for a second. All right. I unpaused, but I haven't bought the tickets yet. I got to really think about this. I don't know how much longer those tickets are going to be available. Unfortunately, I didn't make it out to see Spider-Man today, but, you know, I hear it's, like, possibly the best one. I will probably see that next weekend, next Saturday night. We'll see what happens. I'm a little... I've got one thing on my mind now, and that's... I got to make it to Colorado, baby. I got to make this happen. It's probably, if I do it, it's probably going to be a solo adventure. I was just messaging Shelly. I'm thinking he's probably not interested because he did say he's going to be in New Orleans, just getting back from New Orleans, November 1st. So he'll probably, you know, have just spent some money doing that. And probably not going to want to go to fucking Colorado for a day. I've never been to Colorado, though. That's kind of exciting. And to fly into Denver, you know? It'd be cool to see the mountains and stuff. It would be kind of cool if it snowed. I don't want it to be so much snow that I'm not able to get there, you know? The flight gets fucked up. I mean, that'll suck if, you know, it gets delayed or whatever. I'm not able to make it. And, you know, not actually get to meet the guy. But to just go there and know that I'm there and to hear him in person, like, talk about this shit, fantastic. And I would have the chance to at least possibly ask him a question, you know? Probably want to keep it to the movie. There's so much stuff I'd love to talk to the guy about. I mean, there's just making movies in general. Just the early days stuff sounds pretty crazy, or just the making of Ash versus Evil Dead. I mean, there's so much. I mean, I'd be interested in the behind the scenes of making of Hercules. And I just recently watched a video on YouTube about, it was basically about, I think it was just about Hercules and Xena, talking about stuff that happened with that. And of course, I mean, if you're familiar with that, I mean, if you're a fella about my age, I'm sure you watched it. Hercules the Adventure Continues, or whatever it's called. The one with Kevin Sorbo. And, of course, Sam Raimi is the one who was behind making that. Of course, Sam Raimi, that, of course, childhood friend of Mr. Bruce Campbell. And, of course, the director of Evil Dead. The Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army of Darkness. And he's produced, like, all the other ones. So, fucking legend, Sam Raimi. And Sam Raimi and his company, that of course Bruce Campbell is also a part of, were behind making Hercules the Legend Continues, or whatever the fuck. Let's look it up. damn it. IMDb. Here we go. Kevin, we'll just... Okay, Sorbo, Kevin's... Here we go. Find him. That'll find me the... Hercules, the Legendary Journeys. That's what it was. Hercules. Oh, no, that's. Yeah. The Hercules Show with Kevin Sorbo. The Legendary Journeys. I think that might have been just the. Yeah, it was the TV movie. The name of the Hercules show. Besides that, might have been. Oh, man. Kevin Sorbo is still working a lot. He's seems a bit of a crazy dude. I'm more of a fan of Lucy Lawless. Yeah, there were several Hercules TV movies. What was the name of the fucking show? Was it just he was in an episode of Cheers? Unaccredited. I think it's just Hercules, the Legendary Journeys. But anyway, you know, there was Hercules then had spawned off with Xena, which Lucy Lawless, of course, portrayed Xena. And she became bigger than Hercules. She was her character was supposed to die off in like three episodes, and Rob Tappert is one of the producers that's also involved. You know, came up with Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell, who would go on to Rob would end up marrying Lucy Lawless, and you know, Kevin Sorbo was not happy about Xena becoming its own spinoff show, and took, according to him, like the best writers and all of that with that. And it was, I get the impression that he thought his show would have gone on longer had Xena not become a spinoff. What can you do? Lucy Lawless was way better than Kevin Sorbo. I mean, I found Kevin Sorbo's Hercules, you know, entertaining. I don't agree with his politics in the least bit. But I didn't know, like, a lot of the stuff of watching this video. I found it interesting that he had, like, a stroke or an aneurysm while filming. And he was unable, I think it was a stroke, and he was unable to lift, like, they said, like, over, like, 10 pounds for a while. And he's playing Hercules. And it wasn't, it didn't become public while he was filming the show. And they had to come up with creative ways to, like, have him not in the show. They had shows that were about, like, the writers of the show and everything. Bruce Campbell was in many of the episodes. And he directed a few of them, I think. And he was also involved in the Xena show because, you know, he's Bruce Campbell. He's awesome. But I'd love to get, like, stories about that. And apparently Sorbo didn't, like, come out and say anything about the health issues he had during filming of Hercules until, like, many years later when he put out a book, which I have not read. But, you know, he did good stuff with Hercules and then Pool Boy 2, Drowning Out the Fury. Movie's awesome. Past that, I'm out. Pretty much everything Sorbo. That video also mentioned that Kevin Sorbo was in the running to play Agent Fox Mulder. Not my cat. That is Agent Fox Mulder of the X-Files.
He wasn't trying to take your place, buddy.
You're good. Kevin Sorbo's got all his limbs. That fucker. What a prick. I think it's on IMDb, it's just Pool Boy, Drowning Out the Fury. But I think in the movie, if you watch it, there was. I've only seen two. There was a one? Shit. Now I thought there was a Pool Boy 2. God damn it. Now I'm a little confused because I could have swore when Shelley and I had watched, like, in the early days of this podcast, we watched Pool Boy. And I thought it said it was Pool Boy 2, which there was only one Pool Boy that I'm pretty sure exists. But if I remember correctly, when you watch the movie, it says Pool Boy 2, Drowning Out the Fury. But there's only one Pool Boy listed on here, and it's Pool Boy Drowning Out the Fury. I don't remember Danny Trejo being on there. But apparently it's been a long time since I watched it. That movie is fucking fantastic. I'd watch that again. It's Pool Boy, Drowning Out the Fury. Anyway, I guess there wasn't. I could have swore during the. Oh, Jason Mewes was in it. Man, it's been years since I watched it, since like the early days of this podcast. And it's been going on for like 14 years now, this podcast. So I guess I shouldn't feel too bad. It was in the first few episodes. The very first episode, actually, of watching this. The very first episode of this podcast, we watched Pool Boy Drowning Out the Fury. I don't believe that Sam Raimi was involved in that at all, but or Bruce Campbell, unfortunately. course, it would have been a much better film had that been the case. So there could be, you know, some interesting things to find out about that. From what I understand, Lord of the Rings, the movies, wouldn't have happened like they did. Or at least Peter Jackson wouldn't have had a shot of getting them made in New Zealand had it not been for Sam Raimi and Hercules. Because Hercules and Xena, because they established a film crew and everything and shooting in New Zealand. So they had a base of operations for filming stuff already out there in New Zealand. Because of that, Peter Jackson was able to utilize that to make a pitch for the, I forgot what movie studio did, Lord of the Rings. But that was big in the part of giving the green light for Peter Jackson to make the Lord of the Rings there in New Zealand. And, you know, that's a huge movie franchise. That's, would be, something special, or it would, yeah, I don't know what I'm going with here. But, Sam Raimi's just touched so many things. It is so tempting, but it looks like I'd probably have to go there by myself. I feel like I need a partner in crime for this caper. It's to go out and see Mr. Bruce Campbell. I was like, the chance for me to be in a room live and in person with Bruce Campbell, I think that window is closing fast, unfortunately. It would be great. If had I only gone and seen him, like, you know, while Ash versus Evil Dead and stuff, when that was going through, I'd love to see the rest of the Ghost Beaters, you know, find out. I keep, like, you know, going to the brucecampbell.com to see what kind of events he's going to. I mean, I know that they have, you know, Comic-Con ish things that happen in, like, St. Louis, that, you know, events that people go to, or, you know, a trip to Chicago is not that bad. You know, Chicago's not that far. Like, if I wanted to go meet someone like that, I would also like to go meet Robert Englund. And that would be a great one. As I, you know, I used to be Freddy Krueger for Halloween every year. And love me some Robert Englund. But, you know, these are the things I think of when, after turning my downstairs into a movie theater. And, like, that's kind of all I've been thinking about lately is just movies. As, you know, I'd ordered some more movie Mylar posters, of the 5-inch by 25-inch movie posters that I put in my light boxes that light up. I did get them in last Monday, the new ones. That is for Hobo with a Shotgun, Airplane, and, of course, Howard the Duck. And I'm pretty ecstatic with it. I had no idea which posters they were, because I didn't ask for a picture. I'm sure he would have. The seller on eBay is Original Movie Mylars, I believe. It's the name of the seller. Jason is the guy's actual name. Don't call off the top of my head what his last name is. Anyway, I'm sure he would have sent me a picture of them before I actually purchased them if I, you know, asked for it. But, you know, it's just like, I just wanted those movie posters. Those were, I figured the Hobo with the Shock, I wouldn't have any different ones. An Airplane was probably, I figured, you know, the twisted up plane, the knotted up plane would be the thing. And sure enough, that was it. I had in the past with the Howard the Duck, I put a bid because I was, you know, going on eBay. Is the unfortunate thing with doing with eBay is that, you know, it's auctions. You can't just buy it outright. Sometimes there is a buy it outright, like a buy it now option. But a lot of times, I mean, it's just, you got to put a bid on it. And people, especially now with smartphones, you can set it up to where you get alerts when the bidding's about to end. So you can sit on it to the last minute and then outbid the person within the last minute and then, you know, get it. And people do this shit all the time. And I had this I had put a bid on Howard the Duck, also on a Terminator one that I really liked. But I got outbid on Howard the Duck. I got outbid on a few of them. There was a They Live that I've seen a few They Live posters on there, but this one was way cooler than the other ones. It was just a cool poster. There's been plenty of them that I wanted to buy that I was so-so about the movie, but the movie poster looks fucking awesome. Then there's movies I've thought about buying that I love the movie that the poster's like, meh, meh. But anyway, the bidding that I lost on the Howard the Duck poster, it was a decent poster. It had the cool Howard the Duck font from the movie. It was like that. And it had the egg on it that, of course, Howard, presumably the egg that Howard came out of, which I thought was cool, but the one I got was way better. It has Howard sitting reading a Rolling Stone, but it's what do they call it? Because it's the Duck magazine, as opposed to the God damn it! Oh, here it is. What do they call it? Rolling Quack or something? Oh, Rolling Egg. It's the Rolling Egg instead of Rolling Stone, and it's got Beverly, Miss Leia Thompson. Of course, Howard's sitting on a recliner. Well, I don't know if it's a recliner. It's just a chair. And he's got a stogie as he's reading a Rolling Egg magazine, reading about his girl, Beverly. And it looks fantastic. And it's got space behind him. They got the stars and shit. Fan-fucking-tastic. And the airplane one, I mean, it's basically, it's airplane if you know the movie. You can probably guess what the poster is. It's the what you'd see on all the movie posters, pretty much. And, you know, it's possible, I guess, they could have had a poster with the autopilot maybe thrown in there. But it's just the plane and a knot, which is what I was hoping for. So I was really, really pleased with them. I think they look really great. I might get a shining one this week because it's not full of $30 and it looks pretty decent. I might bid on these one poster this week. We'll see what happens. As I'm possibly going to go on an adventure in November. Let's shit. anyway, yeah, I might get The Shining, this week. I know that, there's a few that I want to order that I will probably email him about. Wait at least a few weeks. We'll see how I do as far as production bonuses concerned at work before I can make this. But there's at least three or four. I mean, there's a bunch of more movie posters I want. I want to have one of the greatest Tom Hanks Meg Ryan movie ever made, and that is Joe versus the Volcano. I'm not talking Sleepless in Seattle or You've Got Mail. I'm talking Joe versus the fucking Volcano. And that movie's fucking fantastic. It's got Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges, that are also in the movie Airplane, which those two are just phenomenal in Airplane. Airplane is, to me, like my favorite comedy is The Jerk. Steve Martin, Bernadette Peters. Carl Reiner directing, but number two, a strong number two, and it's close to being a number one. But Airplane, Shelley and I watched that on loop when we were kids. We had it on the big laser disc, and just that movie's just fucking amazing. And I watched it, of course, I got it on Blu-ray now. I got it off with one and two. I just watched the first one. I haven't gone back to watch the sequel yet. But the first one, man, I haven't seen that in probably like 20 years. But I remember pretty much every detail about it. I don't think there was much I had forgotten. There was, like, I guess a few scenes that it was kind of, but there's the woman freaking out. I got to get out of here. Everybody, you know, coming up to smack the shit out of her. And then, the, the one from the Brady Bunch. I forget her name, but let's pull up Airplane real quick. Airplane is just, it is one of the greats, man. Airplane, it is one of those movies, much like Hot Shots, where it's just, you know, a parody of a bunch of movies. And it's just, but the movie is just like joke after joke after joke, like every scene. And like they went through so much. Like you can look at a scene like when at the very beginning when they're at the airport, like there's so much put into the names of the magazines and shit. They're just like they went through some effort on this one. It's rated 7.7 stars on IMDb, which I feel like is a decent rating for a comedy, but I feel like it should be a 10. It's a 10 in my heart. I rated it 10 on IMDb. Apparently, I didn't move the needle. Holy fuck, I love this movie, though. The, I mean, was it the Zucker brothers? I think they're brothers, David and Jerry Zucker. And then Jim Abrahams, they were involved in the Kentucky Fried movie, too, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, anyway, that movie's just so fucking good. Was it Barbara Billingsley? That's the one, the woman I was trying to think of. She goes and says, I speak jive. As, that shit, that whole scene with the speaking jive part is, pretty fucking fantastic. Which, was she in the Brady Bunch? Was Barbara Billingsley the one in the... let's see here. Trying to go back in time. What was the big... I feel like it was... She was in... Maybe not. Hey, she was in one episode of Mork and Mindy. It was a classic show. Oh, she was in Leave It to Beaver. That's what she was in. She was June Cleaver. Duh. I should have known that. Not the Brady Bunch. It was, yeah. She was in Leave It to Beaver as June Cleaver. Yeah. She's. I speak jive. That's right. June Cleaver speaks jive. Anyway, in IMDb, they also named the autopilot as Otto and his character's name. Apparently Otto. I don't remember them actually saying Otto. But there's so much greatness about that. Lloyd Bridges in that movie, just like constantly like, I picked the wrong week to stop drinking. And then he's like pounding the flask. And he's like, I quit the wrong week to quit amphetamines. And he starts popping pills. But then the best part is him finally with the glue. I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. And just huffs that and like passes out. But, oh man, Leslie Nielsen in that movie, so good, so good. As you know, I gotta pull up some trivia. I know that an Airplane, this was a shot for shot remake of another film, but it was like a, I believe, like a serious film. I don't know that I ever saw the actual. Oh man. Movie that they were kind of spoofing. Let's see here. This is on IMDb's trivia here. Says, for the argument between announcers concerning the white and red zones at the airport, which is fantastic at the beginning, the producers hired the same voice artists who had made the real world announcements at LA International Airport. That's awesome. At the real airport, the white zone is for loading and unloading passengers only, and there's no stopping in the red zone except for transit buses. They were also married to each other in real life. And the fun part is, like, in the movie, he's talking about no loading and unloading in the white zones or whatever. then the woman gets on. She's like, we know what this is really about. You want me to get an abortion. Yeah, oh, this is what gets into the Leslie Nielsen thing, which I find this, you know, amazing. This is his first turn in comedy. It says, the doctor role was Leslie Nielsen's first comedic role. He later said he was delighted to get the offer, fearing that he was getting too old for anything but elderly grandfather roles. The studio actually wanted to cast Dom DeLuise. My tongue was getting twisted before. Dom DeLuise as the doctor, but directors Jerry Zucker, David Zucker, and Jim Abrahams prevailed. This led to Nielsen gaining a whole new career in wacky comedies, particularly other Zucker Abrahams Zucker productions. This is interesting. Aeromexico was the only airline to buy the movie for their in-flight entertainment. That would have been great to watch that on an airplane. I would have been, I bet since then, maybe you, right? They would possibly have that. Oh, that seems like a must. And watching that shit, man, that's got to be, that's a shame. Only Mexico's living it up with the airplane on the in-flight stuff. Anyway. Jim Abrahams, David Zucker, and Jerry Zucker chose actors such as Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges, Peter Graves, and Leslie Nielsen because of their reputation for playing no-nonsense characters. Until this movie, these actors had not done comedy, so their straight-arrow personas and line delivery made the satire in the movie all the more poignant and funnier. Bridges was initially reluctant to take his role in the movie, but his sons persuaded him to do so. You goddamn right. Jeff Bridges is like, hell yeah. My dad's going to do a comedy. He's going to fucking kill it. And it says, the I got to get out of here scene where a stewardess tries to calm down a hysterical passenger was actually improvised on the spot. The original scene, based on a scene from Zero Hour. Okay, that's the movie where the shot remake. Only called for the stewardess to try to calm her. And then another passenger tells the stewardess that he will handle this and then slaps her. With the joke ending there. Lee Bryant playing the hysterical woman suggested to the directors that the gag should be extended to bring in other annoyed passengers forming a slap line. Although they liked the idea, they were hesitant to do it, fearing Bryant might get hurt. However, they agreed to try it and even added in props, boxing gloves, tire iron, revolver, etc. for the passengers. After briefly rehearsing it, they kept it in the movie after one take. According to Bryant, Leslie Nielsen's second slap was not rehearsed or expected, and he really hit her, though not intentionally. Oh, man, that's crazy. Oh, wow. The first 2 days of the movie's gross covered its entire production budget. That's a win. In a 2008 interview on the talk show Today, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar told the story of being on a European flight and was asked to sit in an empty seat in the cockpit during takeoff so the crew could say they flew with Roger Murdoch. Fuck yeah. That's fantastic. And according to Blu-ray commentary, the song Stayin' Alive was sped up by 10% for the dance scene of the movie. Permission for the Bee Gees had to be obtained to speed it up. Calm down, buddy. Calm down. Quit trying to bite me. Sir, quit trying to bite me. Here, put you up on the desk. Please don't hit the keyboard. You can calm down. Calm down, sir. Calm down. We're all calm here. We're all calm. I'm reading about airplane, man. For the famous scene of the Boeing 747 crashing through the large windows inside the terminal, producer John Davison mentions the Blu-ray extras that after the movie, he received numerous letters from various pilots telling him that they have come very close to reenacting that very scene in real life, with some pilots admitting that they had come so close as to touch the glass with the noses of their airplanes. Oh, fuck me. I feel like it'd be crazier to be like in the airport to see that. Although the pilots, I'm sure, were pretty freaked out. The people on the plane probably would have no idea. They would just hear a crash and be like, what the fuck happened? And if, you know, if they had taken off their seatbelt, there could be a real rough day. let's see here. No. Well, let's hear about, the Jive Lady. The role of the Jive Lady was originally intended for Harriet Nelson, who had played the mother in the 1950s sitcom The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. She turned down the role because she was concerned about the movie's adult language. She was replaced with Barbara Billingsley, who played the mother in the 1950s sitcom Leave It to Beaver. Nelson later admitted to Robert Hayes that she regretted not taking the role, but June Cleaver tore it up with the jive. Lloyd Bridges had a great deal of questions trying to understand his character, his motivation, and his dialogue. And Robert Stack pointed out that the visual gags were so frequent and nonsensical that no one in the audience was going to care. Lloyd, we are the joke, said Stack to Lloyd. Man, yeah, that is what really sells that movie. And I think just like just holds up so much is the seriousness in which they all played the parts. Obviously, in Robert Stack, Lloyd Bridges, was it the guy that played Ted Stryker, Aaron Hayes or whatever his name is? Shit, I don't remember his name. Robert Hayes, that's what it is. Robert Hayes. Here, fun fact, Robert Hayes was in real life a licensed pilot having completed his training in 1974, so he could have flown that fucker. As the movie's dialogue between Ted Stryker and Dr. Rumach, "Surely you can't be serious. I'm serious and don't call me Shirley," was voted as the number 79 movie quote by the American Film Institute. But yeah, I love that. That movie is just absolutely fantastic. One thing I did notice too while rewatching it, I did not realize that Jonathan Banks, maybe I'd known this before, but again, it's been quite a few years since I watched this movie. And I don't know that I've watched it since, Breaking Bad. And I happen to notice that one Mike Ehrmantraut is an air traffic controller in this. A very young Mike Ehrmantraut. He is, of course, the actor Jonathan Banks playing Mike Ehrmantraut in the greatest TV show that ever existed, Breaking Bad. And he's, of course, checking a turkey at one point in the air traffic control. He's got very few lines. But as soon as I heard the voice, and I'm just like, holy shit, that's Mike Ehrmantraut. And he had a full head of hair. And he's not like 70. I think he's also in Gremlins. I think Ehrmantraut, or Jonathan Banks, rather, is in Gremlins, if I remember correctly. He had a lot of small parts back in the day. But Breaking Bad really put him on the map. You know, he's a character actor. And fucking killed it as Mike Ehrmantraut. That voice. I can't do it. But basically, I've got, like, as far as Breaking Bad, I'm not, an impressionist per se. That's not my bread and butter. I can kind of do a little bit of, like, Jesse, like, Yo, Mr. White. Yeah, science, bitch. And then, like, Walt, it's just like, Jesse! That's it. That's all my Walt. I can sometimes do it better than that, but that's, like, basically... Yeah, I'm not going to go to the funny bone with that routine. Fun fact, back to just looking at trivia from Airplane. At age 61, Robert Stack did his own stunts during the fight scene in the airport ticket area, which that's a great, another just fantastic scene where you get all these Jehovah's Witness and all these other people wanting donations and shit, or take their pamphlet, all that kind of shit, coming up to him at the airport, and he's just decking them left and right. Just Robert Stack was good looking at 61 too, I gotta say. I wouldn't have fucked with Robert Stack. I know Robert Stack mainly from the Unsolved Mysteries show, which was, on television all the fucking time when I was a kid. And that voice, I will fucking forever hear Robert Stack's voice in my head. Fucking legend. And just when I think just seriousness, mainly because of... Unsolved Mysteries, mainly what I know him from, is knowing that I can never see him. It's so funny to watch him in Airplane, and he just plays it straight, 100% straight. And I love a good straight man. As in the serious person in a film. You know, I love me a good gay fella too. But the fucking straight... You know, somebody that's like, I think that's, you know, harder than being the goofy person in a movie than just being the serious one. Like Liam Neeson, man, which I do still need to watch his Naked Gun. You know, it's, I believe, at least one of the people behind Lonely Island. I don't know if they're all involved, but was it Norma or whatever? Anyway, or whatever his name is. But I know Liam Neeson is quite funny when it comes to doing straight stuff. His stuff that he did with Ricky Gervais is pretty great. And yeah, going back to Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges, of course they were both also in Joe versus the Volcano. They were straight in that too, playing the straight man, although it wasn't so. It was a romantic comedy. It wasn't exactly... It was an Airplane. I wouldn't put... I do love Joe versus the Volcano, but it's not to the highest echelon as Airplane. It is not up that far. But there are some great moments in Joe versus the Volcano. I mean, the whole idea that going to an island to jump into a volcano to save this island... Waponi Woo. And Robert Stack is the one that I guess that tells Tom Hanks that he's got a brain. You have a brain cloud. Which, you know what? To tell you the truth, if Robert Stack told me that I had a fucking brain cloud, again, because he is Mr. Serious, I would buy anything that Robert Stack told me. Not going to lie. 100%. If he told me I had a fucking brain cloud, I'd be like, you know what? I guess I have a brain cloud. I've never heard of a fucking brain cloud, although these days it would be easily to disprove. Because, you know, the first thing I would do upon leaving the office is like, well, I got to do my own research on brain clouds. And so, you know, I got to search it now. I got to find out brain clouds. Oh, fuck. Brain cloud. This is a... this is talking about computer stuff jargon. Brain cloud learning. Yeah, I guess there's not. There's no disease. I was wondering if maybe they named a brain after that movie. They're like, you know what? We should name something brain cloud. Which thankfully they have not done. They have not named anything else a brain cloud. Other than like computing stuff. So that's fine. That's talking about the cloud and there's brain computing stuff, whatever in there. But yeah, if Robert Stack were to tell me, he could make up any kind of disease. It could be I need to work on a Robert Stack voice, but, unsolved mystery. No, I don't have it. But it's like, you have a Singaporean dick slug in your brain. It's in your brain, and it's going to your spine. We're like, oh, fuck, man. How did I get a Singapore dick slug inside my brain? But apparently it is, because, you know, Robert Stack told me this. It's obvious. But yeah, Airplane, fantastic. The other movies I would need to get, like Joe vs. the Volcano would be, of course, a poster I need to get. I have a jerk movie poster downstairs of the bigger kind, of the 24 by 36, I think is what it is, inches. So I don't feel like I need a jerk poster of the smaller variety, the light up though, you know, I might at some point if it looks cool. I'd probably do it. I definitely want the Total Recall with Arnold's Total Recall, not the Colin Farrell one, not that one. I'm pretty sure I watched that. And you know what? I don't remember jack shit about it. I know Kate Beckinsale plays the Sharon Stone part. But there's several movies, you know, that I'd still love to have those movie posters of. Joe vs. the Volcano. That one's... Twins is possibly number one. You know, I did, of course, last week, I think, talk about Twins. And that is one I definitely need to get a poster of. Twins, Total Recall. That first Terminator, I've seen some other posters of that up, but the one that I lost the bidding on, that one looked cooler than the other ones. That first Terminator would be a good one to have. I've seen Commando up on there. That was... I enjoy Commando, but again, like the movie poster, it was meh. And from a fun fact about Arnold, years ago when he was on the Nerdist podcast, he had talked about filming the Commando, and there's of course the scene at the end of Commando, which I don't know if you can still get this, the Nerdist podcast, because well, he ended up. They ended up changing the name because Nerdist was sold. Shit, what's his name? From Singled Out. I'm blanking. Let's see if you can even find podcast. There we go. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ba-ba-ba-ba. They changed it to the Chris Hardwick's podcast, of course. Nerdist is what started out, but I guess you can find it. They changed the name to Idiot with Chris Hardwick after he had sold, because there was stuff that you can still play the Arnold episode. Fun fact, which back then they were still talking about doing a twin sequel, which unfortunately not happening. But anyhow, yeah, Chris Hardwick got canceled there for a minute because it turns out he's kind of an asshole, at least to at least one of his girlfriends. Not like a total scumbag, but just kind of a dick. Kind of a dick. But then again, you know, I feel like maybe, you know, we don't know all the stuff behind the scenes. I don't remember exactly what it was. She had like put out. His ex-girlfriend had put out like text messages he had with her and stuff. I don't remember exactly what the deal was, but it's, you know, it unfortunately, like the Nerdist podcast and the Nerdist YouTube channel were huge, which Nerdist still does stuff because, of course, he sold that off, the YouTube channel and stuff, but they had way more stuff when he was involved. When it was his stuff, they had bowling and all kinds of entertaining shows. Fortunately, you know, apparently he was kind of a dick, this woman, and you know what, there's, speaking of dudes being dicks, Jared Leto, I think is how you say it, just douchebag, I think, douchebag is the proper pronunciation, if you ask me, just straight up douchebag. I had talked about it not that long ago because, of course, he's in the new Masters of the Universe, which I did watch this last week, and I thought it was pretty entertaining. I mean, I wasn't expecting a whole lot of it's a Masters of the Universe movie. I mean, I grew up playing with He-Man and, of course, watching the Dolph Lundgren. Kitty, come on, Fox. Calm down, buddy. Calm down. Oh, sorry, buddy. You all right? I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean to bop your head. I'm trying to pick him up and his head... hit the desk a little bit there. I am so sorry, buddy. I did not mean to do that, homie. I'm sorry. You were trying to bite me, though, and I was trying to get you to not bite my leg. I was trying to be nice, dude. I was trying to be nice. That's right. Pet, brush up against the mic. I really did not mean to do that, man. Calm down, buddy. Calm down, dude. Calm down, man. Here, you want to play with this feather? You want to play with the feather? Anyway, Masters of the Universe. I did like how they had Dolph Lundgren in there. Of course, they had him in there. And there were some funny moments. I thought it was like funny stuff. You know, I like me some Alison Brie. I was really saddened that GLOW never got to do like a final season or anything like that, which she was, of course, in. And I watched the actual show GLOW in the 80s. So that was some nostalgia factor for me there. Anyway, I enjoyed Masters of the Universe, and you couldn't really tell it was Jared Leto as Skeletor, so it didn't bother me so much, but I can't stand that fucker. And it's been well known that, you know, he's likes little girls and is just a straight-up douchebag. In real life, he's got his own cult going on and just a prick. And anyway, there are new allegations. Well, I don't know about new allegations. It's just making it more public. There was a BBC article, I believe, that is the recent, where the recent smoke has come from, and talks about several women that were underage and being involved with Jared Leto. And he's still continuing to do big movies, and he's been poisoned for big budget movies for at least like 10 years. I don't know why Hollywood keeps hiring him, but you know, Hollywood is, you know, got a history for, you know, being, you know, misogynistic and what have you, and involved in, you know, not good things. I mean, Harvey Weinstein. I mean, the list could just keep going on and on. And people involved in sex crimes and in Hollywood. Or, you know, drugs, murder. There's plenty of good stuff. Well, I don't know, the good stuff. Entertaining stuff is not more of what I'm talking about. You know, it makes for great stories when you read about, especially like the old Hollywood, like in the days of like Chaplin era and esque, and like the first talkies. I mean, early Hollywood's got some crazy shit. You get the Black Dahlia murder, which I've heard some interesting theories on that possibly, they know who that did kill, I forgot the actress's name, but the Black Dahlia. And they think that it's possible that was also the Zodiac killer. There is, Fox is biting me in the shoulder now. I really didn't mean to like bump his head. I just bumped his head a little bit while I'm trying to pick him up. He bumped his head on the desk here. I did feel pretty bad about that. And I'm going to have to make it up to him. I might give him a churro. Don't tell him, but I might give him a churro. It's like a delectable treat. You know, it's like the soft food. I might have to give him one. He loves those things. He might gnaw my arm off if I just the pulling that thing out of the cabinet. He will lose his fucking mind. He will lose his fucking mind. But yeah, I got to figure out, I guess, in the next maybe day or two, whether or not I am going to take this adventure to Littleton. And I mean, that it's going to be quite a bit of money just to go. Had I just called the theater as soon as I found out this was happening in St. Louis, I could have just gone to St. Louis. Wouldn't have cost jack shit. You know, I could have fucking hung out with Bruce Campbell for a night. But why, you know, this could add to the story, man. This could end up being, you know, way more of a thing. If I, you know, by going to Colorado, who knows what could happen? This is like one of those things where it could be the crazy trip. I could end up not making it. That's kind of the more of the pisser thing. If the weather is really bad, this could fuck with the flights. And who knows? You know, this could be. There's all sorts of shit that could go wrong, but could make for a great story. I mean, this is one of those things where I'm just like looking at it like, this is highly tempting. This is highly tempting. This is, damn it. If I had somebody, a partner in crime, I don't know who of my friends would be down for it, you know, with Shelley just getting back from New Orleans and probably not wanting to spend any money. Seems unlikely that he'd want to do that. I'd mentioned him like, hey, you want to do anything there? It sounds like that's a no. But we'll see, you know. Fuck. That is super tempting. Super tempting. I don't want to say yes or no at the moment. I'm going to take the next day or so to figure this out. I can't take too long because those tickets could be sold out any minute now. He is a popular figure. There's only so many tickets left. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Maybe by the time I'm done recording this, the ticket's already sold out. I don't know how quickly these things are selling, really. I mean, all the other dates are sold out. And, I could already be shit out of luck. Though, you know, it would be great if, he does some kind of Comic-Con or something of some other con or event in the St. Louis area. Or, you know, I'd be down for going to Chicago. Chicago would probably be a lot easier to fly, like, if he's in Chicago, just to fly, because I can take a straight flight into Chicago. That's another thing with Littleton. It's like a little over an hour train ride, or I think the bus is about, like, 45, 50 minutes, something like that. I can get there probably about 40 minutes via cab. A lot more fucking expensive that way, though. But it would be a lot cooler to go to a place where I could just fly there directly, get out, and a shorter flight. I mean, Chicago's a bit shorter of a flight. Quite a bit shorter, I think. And probably cheaper. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think I might have to go converse with a few people and be like, should I do this? Should I not? Should I stay or should I go? Damn it. There's just, you know, you only live once, right? I keep trying to talk myself into it and out of it at the same time. I'm not going to figure this out right here, right now. So I guess that's really all I've got. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.